God's grace to you again tonight from our Father who is reigning, the Father of lights up in the heavens, and also our Lord Jesus Christ who is with us here tonight. Grace to you in peace from the Father and the Son. Amen. Now, during this Lent, we are going through a theme of the road to the cross. We're looking at Jesus' road to the cross and also our road to the cross. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at how to walk in humility as he walked. Last week, we looked at how to walk in trust as he walked. And today, I'd like to look at the next one, which is how to walk in truth as he walked. So I see this is really the thing that jumps out to me in all the passages of Scripture tonight, especially John chapter 18, our gospel lesson. I just want to read a little bit of that again and look at what it means for Jesus to walk as the truth, what it does for how he walked on his road to the cross, and what it's going to mean for you in a moment. He says here, he's standing before the man who can condemn him to death. Basically, the leader of the world and the flesh at that time in Jerusalem. And he, this Pilate speaks to him and challenges him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus, with all boldness and intrepid daring, answers him, "My kingship is not of this world. If my kingship were of this world, my servants would fight, that I might not be handed over to the Jews. But my kingship is not of the world, from the world." Pilate said, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate answers, "What is truth?" Now, when Jesus is living by the truth, knowing the truth, being the truth, how does that make him, in standing before it, the leader of the world and the flesh and the whims and spirit of the age that he was facing in that room, in the praetorium? Gave him clarity, confidence, conviction, strength to walk this way? Let me tell you something. God wants you to walk in the same way. Jesus knew he was the truth. He was speaking the truth. He knew the difference between a truth and a lie. And that gave him all clarity in his life and certainty and strength and conviction so that he didn't have to fear the leader that he was standing before. He was nothing next to that. And in the same way, God wants you to walk on your road to the cross, which you have to carry your cross daily. He wants you to walk based on the truth. In the truth, being of the truth, and not getting into all this tomfoolery that is in the world today. You know, our world is just fed up with statements of absolute truth. They don't want anything to do with it anymore. You know that? Our spirit of our age, do you realize this? Whenever you get into a theological conversation, it has to be, "In my faith tradition, so-and-so," or "I feel this," or "It's my opinion that." That's hogwash. That has nothing to do with the life of a Christian. A Christian follows what Jesus did, which is, he knew the truth, he knew everything about the truth, he knew what was true and what was false, and he lived it, he proclaimed it. Just to let you know, no apologies coming from him based on that. He spoke it, he lived it, he was it, the truth. And we got to get this into our minds tonight. If we are going to walk in the same way that he walked on our road to the cross, we are going to have to throw out this spirit of the age that we are living in. This political correctness type of age where everything has to be carefully worded so as not to offend. Look at what our Lord Jesus Christ was like. He knew the truth. He had no doubt about it. He had total clarity and total spiritual sight as to what was right and what was wrong, what was good and what was evil. And ever since the, I don't know what it was, you look at some old movies from the 60s and going back there, you have the guys with the white hats, the guys with the black hats, the good and the evil and the bad, right? And there was a clear division. These days, you can't have any of that, it seems. Look at how much Jesus was affected by the spirit of the age. How afraid he was of those who were around him. The threats of popular opinion. Let's see what he says in John chapter 8, verse 53 and following. Just imagine if he'd come and say this today, which he does still, by the way. John 8:53, second part of the verse and following. The Jews are challenging. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you claim to be? What does Jesus say? Jesus answered, verse 54, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It's my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say that he is your God, but you have not known him. I know him. If I said I do not know him, I should be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. You see how that gives you clarity, strength, conviction in your life. When you know the truth, can you imagine saying that today to someone in a conversation? I know him, you don't. People don't want to hear that today. That's not the spirit of our age. But I'll tell you, if you're a child of light, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not into hazy shades of gray here and there. It's light and darkness. You speak the truth because you're of the truth. No holes barred, if that's the right word. We are the truth. We speak the truth, I mean. And so we want to follow Jesus in these ways. Look at what impression it made upon people. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. You know, we get in seminary and places like that, and especially discussions between denominations, they all want to dialogue these days. I got to tell you something. I was in the ELCA at one point, then came to the Missouri Synod, and I've also been in other types of groups. They love this word dialogue. That word just drives me crazy. Because what it really means is, let's just try to forget doctrine and just talk about all the different positions on things. Remember when I was at the ELCA seminary, which is not of our denomination, that is, I had to write a paper on their position on abortion. And I got a good grade on it, but the teacher commented, really well argued, Greg, but you only showed one point of view. I said, well, to the teacher in front of the class, basically, there is only one point of view. It's wrong. Abortion is wrong. And she didn't like that. She wanted both sides of the case. That's the spirit of the age. Oh, you can say it this way, but it's got to be this way too. Don't you take a firm position on something and make an absolute statement about it. I'll tell you something. If I don't make an absolute statement about something, I am no Christian. Because a Christian is someone who's of the truth. He's sure about it. He knows it. We're not here to follow vagaries and theological discussions about here and there and be wishy-washy about our faith. That's not the way our Lord Jesus was. He said, I know him, and you do not know him. If I said I don't know him, I'd be a liar like you. That's pretty offensive. And yet, he spoke with strength, clarity, and conviction because he was of the truth, and he spoke the truth. And for the good of those around him, so maybe they might repent and come to know the Lord. So, this is what our Lord is asking of us, is to walk in the truth with him. And when we do that, you know, this isn't just Jesus we're talking about. Look at what happened to the apostles. When they followed Jesus, it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 8 and following, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke to the rulers of the people and the elders, saying, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done by a cripple, how he was healed, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this man, this man is standing before you well. And for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they wondered and they recognized that they'd been with Jesus. Can people recognize about that about you? That you've been with Jesus? When you're starting to speak, this is the truth, what I'm sharing with you. It is no lie. This is what it is, right or wrong. This is the truth as opposed to lie, Christ as opposed to the devil. Can people recognize that you've been with Jesus? Because that's the heritage of the saints. Isaiah 54, verse 17 says, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. You shall confute every tongue that arises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord and their vindication from me, says the Lord. So we, like Jesus, need first to know the truth, know what is true based on God's word and what is a lie, and simply call a spade a spade. But let me again talk about the world in which we're living. The world does not operate this way. I remember when I went to college years ago, a girl shared with me, "I'm learning in my life that I used to think everything was black and white. Now I'm learning everything's really just shades of gray." Have you bought into that yourself? Isn't that the teaching that's out there everywhere in the world? Is it? Come on, let's hear something here tonight. I hear that all the time. And let me tell you something. The world is black and white, though. And the world doesn't like to hear that things are black and white. Think about another friend of mine who went away to college. He grew up, he had an idealism about America. He thought there's good, right and wrong, white hats, black hats, good guys, bad guys. He went away to Williams College. He came back a semester later. I met him at the cross-country field. We went running together, and he told me, "You know all those things we grew up with about America and about good and right and wrong and all that stuff? I don't believe those anymore." And he actually turned into something of a partier and sleeping around and things like that, all because of one semester at Williams. Undid all that he had before. Look at movies like Dances with Wolves. Not to say that white guys were good and Indians were bad or anything, but it's a total reversal there. How about that movie Iwo Jima? Did you see that one that came out? That recent one where it glorifies the Japanese and kind of demonizes the Americans. How about the Spielberg movie that came out where the terrorists that killed the Olympians several years ago, they are made to be humanized and to be not such bad guys after all, just zealots. How about how children at school these days, you can't even use a red marker to tell them they're wrong anymore. You can't tell a child he's wrong or use a red marker in some states. There have been lawsuits about that because it'll hurt the child's esteem. You can't tell them what's black and white, right and wrong. And when I was in the ELCA before I came to this denomination, and they were wanting to remove me from that denomination after an interrogation I had with them, their final real comment to me was, "This guy is too black and white. He doesn't recognize all the shades of gray and all the different positions that there are in all these moral issues." And I'll tell you something today. They're right. And I am proud, audacious, intrepidly daring enough to declare to you tonight that I'm a black and white kind of guy. And you know why I am? Because I'm a Christian. And that's the way Christians must be. That's the way Jesus was. And look at what we read there a second ago in 1 John chapter 1. "This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." I challenge you right now, okay? Open your Bibles, and you guys find for me somewhere in here where God is wishy-washy on a position. Where he's kind of admits, "Oh, it's a shade of gray. Let me give you a treatise on this. You guys just decide for yourselves. I'm not really too sure about this." Can you find anything in there? Pick one verse out of the Bible where you say God doesn't have a strong position on it, one way or the other. You know what? Our God is a God of right versus wrong, of truth versus a lie, of Christ versus Satan, of the guys with the white hats versus the guys with the black hats. I had this accident happen at my house a couple of weeks ago. Remember? A car drove through our back fence, landed in our pool. And I got to talk with the policeman through the night hours. And he said to me, he wanted to become a federal marshal because he liked to chase down the bad guys, the really bad guys. And I thought that was kind of refreshing. Here's a policeman who actually feels a strength, a conviction, and a clarity about his job, because he says, "I'm wearing the white hat and they are wearing the black hats. And I'm out to get the bad guys." And I'm thankful I have a policeman who wants to get the bad guys, because there are bad guys in this world. Not just people who had a bad childhood experience, although that's probably part of it. But they are bad guys. And he also even told me he loves it when they run, because he likes to chase them down and put the handcuffs on them. But he was 21 years old. Maybe part of that's just his youth. But the point I'm sharing here is, look, We have a God, as it says in James 1, who has no variation, no shadow due to change. He is light, no darkness at all. Hebrews 13 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And you know the wonderful news about that? Is that if our God is truly black and white, if He is right versus wrong, then and He is the same and constant, that means you can rely on Him. You can rely on Him every day to give you victory in your life as you follow Him, because He's never going to fail you, never going to forsake you, because He's not wishy-washy this way one day, shade of gray this way tomorrow. Oh, I'm not sure, there are two positions on this. No, He says, you're my children, you call upon me, I'm going to save you. I'm going to deliver you, I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to lead you to my home in heaven, giving you victory along the way and proclaiming my Son. So this is just great news that we have, and that's why people like Paul can say things like this in the Bible. Romans 14, I know and am fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus. 1 Timothy 1, the saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. Romans 8, for I am sure that neither death nor life, etc., can separate me from Christ. Is that the way you are in your faith? Can you just say right tonight, it's black or white, and it is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and I'm going to live on this reality that our Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. What a great message that is. Because God wants us not only to take the truth, which is God's holy word, like a football, He wants us not just to hold it, but to run with it. To go our whole lives running with the ball, living by it, being the truth, that is, being in the truth, having Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life, living in us. This leads to the last point tonight. Another reason that Jesus can be so confident, have such clarity and conviction, and wouldn't it be great if you had those? You can, if you follow Him, is He knew who He was. He knew when Pilate asked Him, are you the king? Are you a king? He says, my kingship is not from the world. Not saying He's not a king. He's saying, I'm not a temporal, earthly, fleshly, fly-by-night king today and pauper tomorrow. My kingship is from heaven. It's eternal. It's everlasting. I am the true Lord of this earth. And He knew who He was. And that's why He could stand up to a king on the earth and speak to him straight eye to eye and not bat an eyelash. That's like Robin Hood with Prince John, one of my favorite movies, right? Where the Archbishop of Canterbury, when Robin marches in to Nottingham Castle and Prince John is there, and the Archbishop of Canterbury says, someone ought to advise you to wag that curbing tongue of yours. Curb that wagging tongue of yours. And Robin Hood says, it's a habit I've never formed, Your Grace. And then Marian says, you speak treason. And he says, fluently. And that's the way we ought to be as Christians. When we speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this pluralistic, mamsy-pamsy, shades of gray, no position is right type of relative truth, all the religions of the world lead to Christ, lead to heaven kind of world, we got to confess the way and the truth and the life, Jesus Christ, fluently in the face of the prince of the air of this life. And I want you to know who you are today. A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. In other words, you, if you are in Christ, wear the white hats. And you got to act like it. And live according to that truth, loving Jesus, who, because He was knowing the truth, living it and being the way and the truth and life, He stayed the course. He had the clarity, strength, and conviction to lay down His life for you. And this is the message I declare to you, that's the truth. He is King of this world. He is Lord. He has come to save you. He has laid down His life for you. His blood has been shed for the atonement and forgiveness of your sins. And He has promised eternal life, reconciliation, friendship with God, and eternal and heaven, and the promised land to all who come to Him for His mercy. And so take that and live it today. Take that football of God's truth and run with it in your life, following Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life. Amen.